and 52 in your pew Bible, Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to begin reading with verse 10. We're still in this series called Battle Cry. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning verse 10, page 952 in your pew Bible. Let's stand together as we read God's Word. We're going to read verses 10 through 18. So you'll have to read loud today because Sherry is in Baltimore. So we got to make up for that deficiency, and she's worth at least a good 10 voices. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Thank you. God bless you. You can be seated. You know, when you go to the gym or you go to a fitness center, there is a variety of weights that you can use. There are machines that are hooked up to pulleys. There are free weights. There are ropes that you can pull on. There are mats that you can do planks on or sit-ups on. There are benches. There are reclining benches. There's every kind of equipment imaginable that you can work out with. I remember years and years ago, my brother was probably, Bubba was probably 15, and he ordered a set of spring workouts, and I don't mean spring like the time of season. One of them had a bar at the bottom, a piece of metal, and you stood on that, and then it had something here, and it was hooked to springs, and you could set the tension. And if you turned your hand this way, you did curls. If you turned your hand this way, and part of it, I tried it one time, and I hit myself in the head and stopped, decided I don't want to do that anymore. But one of them I could use, it had blue plastic handles, and you put it in your hand, and you squeezed it. It was supposed to build your forearms. I thought it was great to build knees with. So I would set it on the ground and do my knee, you know, because I wanted to build my kneecaps up and make sure they were good and strong. I couldn't bend it. You know, Scripture reveals that there is more than one piece of equipment. And there's more than one way for us to strengthen ourselves. And that's where we began with this series, is talking about the mirrors that we see and how they are to show us our weaknesses so that we can then look to God for strength in that area. But today, I want to talk to you about a particular exercise that is very important called squats. Not squash, but squats. I looked up squats to see how they were defined, and a squat is an exercise that is designed to strengthen your lower back and your thighs and to help you build your posture. So a squat, if you go to the gym, in fact, let me tell you, you don't have to go to the gym to do squats. That's the good thing about it. You can give the church that money, and you can do this one at home. But basically with a squat, what you want to do is you want to keep your back bent but straight, and then you bend down, and then you come up. Now, if you're at the gym, they want you to put a bar on there. And normally I put like 10 45s on each side of it. And when you do a squat, you can't do a squat without groaning and loudly. You know, it's not something you just grab the bar and then you get bent over and you go down. No, you've got to go, that way everybody in the gym can know you're squatting. But a squat is designed to strengthen your core. It's designed to reduce the risk of injury. It burns calories because it's working so many major muscle groups. It strengthens the muscles of your lower body. It boosts your strength, and it can be done anywhere. Now, I'm not selling gym memberships this morning, but what I want to talk to you about is how similar squats in the natural are to prayer in the spiritual. One of the things about a squat is you can stand here in front and grab that bar, put it on your neck, and you can stand there and you can do all the groaning you want to do, but that is not a squat. The squat begins with you going down. Prayer begins when we begin to humble ourselves before God. Prayer is lowering yourself in humility before God. Prayer is allowing God to strengthen your spirit, your mind, your mouth, your heart, and your emotions. And by doing so, all of those reduce the risk of later emotional or spiritual injury. And the wonderful thing about prayer, like squats, they can be done anywhere. In fact, I find sometimes when I'm doing squats, I do a lot of praying. God, help me get up. Help me not break my neck. Prayer reduces the risk of injury, just like squats reduce the risk of injury. James said this in James chapter 5, verse 16, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed, because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Now, at the gym, they have something called a Smith machine. And a Smith machine simply means it is a machine that is designed with hooks in it, or brackets in it, and there's hooks on the bar. So when you're going down and you feel like I've overdone it, I can't go anymore, you can just turn the bar and hook it and get out from under it. But if you don't have that, then you definitely want somebody there with you while you're doing those squats, to make sure as your lower body is getting tired and your thighs are shaking and you feel like I'm going to go over, that there's somebody there who can just place their hands in that weight and just kind of help you guide it back up. That's what James is talking about when he says, pray for each other so that you may be healed. There is a healing effect that takes place in my mind, in my spirit, in my emotions, in my heart, in my attitude, and in my body when I am coming into agreement with someone with prayer. James didn't say pray for each other so that they can be healed. He said pray for each other so that you can be healed. You know, one of the foundational principles of the Methodist Church when it was founded was what we call today small groups. John and Charles Wesley, when they were at Oxford University, formed together a small group of men, and they met and they would share with each other what was going on in their lives, where they were struggling, how their soul was, where they were being tempted, how the Scripture was speaking to them. What are you hearing the Holy Spirit saying to you? And they would pray for each other. It became known by the students at Oxford as the Holy Club. In fact, that came to be turned a little bit later, and they were called holiness people because of how they would meet together and share with their hearts and their lives and pray for each other. We've gotten away from that. Because now prayer has become private, and prayer has become go to church and the pastor will pray. But that is not how prayer is designed to be. And that is not how John and Charles Wesley saw prayer. They saw prayer as something of people come who are living this life together, coming together and sharing their lives and their struggles and their victories, encouraging each other, edifying each other, building each other up, sharing their struggles, sharing their pains, sharing their hurts, sharing where I need somebody to pray for me. And now we have moved away from that and we've become lone rangers in prayer. So the question I want to ask you would be a question if John Wesley was here today would probably ask you. And it is this: do you have a prayer partner? Is there somebody that you know who knows your best and your worst, who knows your highs and your lows, who knows you, and you can open up your heart to them and say, I'm struggling in an area right now in my life. I need prayer. Most of us, and I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about in believers, most of us don't have anyone like that. Well, my wife, she knows what I'm going through. My husband knows what I'm going through. They pray for me. It'd be amazing how many Christian homes in which husbands and wives don't even pray together. Oops. Let me get back over here. Is there someone in your life who loves you, who prays for you, who asks you uncomfortable questions? I've begun meeting by Zoom with two pastors. One is in Augusta, Georgia. One is in Indiana. And we meet every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. And we share with each other. And we have a list of questions. Where are you struggling? What's the Spirit saying to you? Are there any areas in which you're being tempted? How can we pray for each other? Jesus said this in Matthew 18, beginning of verse 19. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. You don't even have to go to somebody's house to do this. You can pick up the phone. And Jesus said, when two of you are gathered together in my name, I'm right there in the midst of you. I'm going to ask Ron Walsh if he would come and take just a couple of minutes and kind of pick up on what I'm talking about. Ron, hurry on down.
Thank you, Rodney. It's amazing to me listening to Rodney. I didn't know what he was going to say. He didn't know what I'm going to say. But first of all, and I had to take notes because I can't just stand up here and talk from memory. But first of all, let me say that it is critical that husband and wife pray together to hold each other accountable and to lift each other up in prayer. Phyllis and I do that every night and every morning before breakfast. But in addition to that, it is important for each of us to have prayer partners that are our own gender. It is important for our personal development before the Lord and for our marriage to have a place to go in confidence and to confess the condition of our hearts, to ask for prayer. In the fall of 1999, I attended a three-day Christian retreat, and it was a wonderful experience where I had just a weekend. It was like spending a weekend with God. On that weekend, as it ended, they reminded us of James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And we were encouraged to keep this closeness with God by connecting with a group of men that would hold us accountable to God and to study His Word. I linked with a close friend of mine at church, and about 6 months later, we added two other guys. Since then, the group has grown and changed a few times, different faces, but we solidified a number of years ago. There's five guys that meet. About the same time that I got in that group, I linked with my then worship leader to mentor two younger men in our church. And those guys eventually moved on, and he and I meet individually one-on-one every week. For almost 22 years now, both of these groups are still a critical part of my life, my walk with Christ. For almost 22 years, I have set the clock for 5:15 a.m. and gotten out of bed and driven across town to a church meeting room, or to a breakfast restaurant before we went to our jobs. And we were there to take turns answering questions. Are you living pure and holy? Are you in the Word? And are you hearing anything fresh from God? In these meetings, it's rare that there is any advice offered, and there is no criticism. Just caring listeners allowing a personal assessment of where we think we are with God, and to offer encouragement and prayer. There have been times when as many as three of us would be down and maybe away from the Lord, or, you know, not feeling like we're close, but there's always been one that was close and would lift the rest of us up. These men are more than brothers in Christ to me. They are my family. They have been there to lift me up through the desert, and they've also been there to join me on the mountaintop. As most of you know, Phyllis and I were married 4.5 years ago. We both had people like these that walked us through the loss of our longtime spouses. For me, they walked me through a 22-year bout with my wife's brain tumor. These guys were my go-to prayer warriors that offered me a safe place where I did not have to pretend to be strong. They were there to help me through her passing, and have now celebrated my marriage with Phyllis with me. They have celebrated the birth of my 9 grandchildren, and since Phyllis and I are married, they've also celebrated the addition of 9 more. They have been with me for so many parts of my life. There is nothing I could not share with these men in fear of rejection. During COVID, we have resorted to a phone meeting to keep us all safe, but it has been a blessing just to have a place to share how it feels not to be able to go to your grandchild's birth, and how it feels just being trapped at home. We've all felt that, but to have somebody to share it with, it's been wonderful. I know that these guys have my back and that they're praying for me, and I'm praying for them. We can't say enough. I can't say enough about the life events of 22 years that they have prayed me through and helped me to come back to my quiet time with God when I began to be dragged away by the busyness of life. I don't want to think about where I would be if they had not been in my life. They started out as acquaintances, and because of the Holy Spirit, they have now become my most trusted friends. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. So prayer helps prevent future injury. Prayer also strengthens, like squats, prayer strengthens my core. Fitness trainers continue to emphasize the importance of strengthening your core. What we call our core is, you know, our lower back, this part of our body, our thighs, is where everything generates from as far as exercise. The core is called the foundation of exercise. Prayer pushes me beyond my self-imposed limits and my time restraints. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Luke chapter 11, verse 5, Jesus said, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, He will surely get up and give you as much as you need. And listen to this next part. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Prayer pushes me to strengthen my core, to strengthen my foundation, to strengthen so that I can say, this is what I believe. I am firm in that. Ephesians 3:16, Paul said, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, in your core, in your spiritual core. If you know anything about sports, you know that if the core of your body is not strong, you're not going to be able to accomplish anything. If you're in baseball and you come to the plate and you're ready to face that batter, and I'm lefty, so I'm facing the batter, and I may have the strongest arms and I may have the best eyes, but if I don't have a strong core so I can turn on that pitch and drive that ball to where I want it to go, I'm just going to be a pop-up artist. In basketball, I may have the sweetest jump shot, but if I don't have a core strong enough for me to jump, I've just got the ball being slapped back in my face. In football, if you're a running back and you've got strong hands to hold that football, and you've got a strong biceps where you can tuck it in, and you've got great vision so you can see that hole when it opens. But if you don't have a strong core, then you're just a running back at the University of Florida. If you're an offensive lineman, don't worry, I'm going to give equal pay here. If you're an offensive lineman, you may be 6'6" and weigh 305 pounds, and you may have the biggest biceps and the biggest chest, but if you don't have a strong core so you can push and make a hold, then you could play for Florida State. The core is all important. You may have the best genes in your body as far as track. But if you don't have a strong core, so when you get in that starting block and you're ready for that gun to go off, if you don't have a strong core to take that initial push to get you going, then all you see is the back end of every runner. You know, they say the bad thing about being the last dog is the view ahead never changes. A core is vitally important, and prayer boosts my spiritual core. It strengthens my inner man. And then lastly, just like I mentioned to you how squats boost and increase our strength, prayer does the same thing. Prayer increases my ability to love other people. Jesus said this in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Matthew 5:44, Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. John wrote in 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Prayer is where I gain the spiritual and emotional strength to pray for those who despitefully use me. It is where it is on my knees in prayer after I have humbled myself before God and I am praying. It is here in the place of prayer that God begins to touch my heart and to soften my heart and to open my heart and to bring forgiveness out of my heart and to bring acceptance out of my heart and to open the channels and to break down the walls that prevent me from loving others. Today is Mother's Day, and I cannot talk about prayer without mentioning my mom, our mother. Mom was a great sounding board. I used to love to go, when I was a, when I was a, growing up as a teenager, even after I got married and moved away from home, I loved going over to their house because mom was eight out of ten times, she was somewhere in the kitchen doing something. A lot of times she was baking a pie to try to soothe some problem my dad had created for somebody. So she would bring a pie or a cake as a peace offering. He kept the oven at her house burning all the time, like 24 hours a day. But so many times she'd be in the kitchen and I would sit up on the bar. I would just push up and I would sit on the bar and I would start talking to mom. And I knew I could talk to mom about any problem I was having. And I was pastoring a church and I could talk to her about anything that was going on. And I could talk to her about how people were hurting my feelings and things they were saying and things they were doing and how it was just so difficult. And she would listen to every detail. And her response was almost always the same. And it would be worded like this: Rod, you just need to pray for them. That's not what I wanted her to say. I wanted her to say, you just need to take a gun to church next Sunday. You know? You need to walk in there with a sword and say, the sword of the Lord and the sword of Rodney. Rodney, you just need to pray for them. Because she understood that prayer isn't so much about changing the other person. Prayer is about changing your heart and the way you see the other person. And when criticism comes up quickly, and when anger boils up quickly, and with wanting to hurt and get back at somebody springs up quickly, it is a warning, it is a mirror, it is a red flag to you and to me saying, you're not spending enough time in prayer. You're not spending enough time in prayer. You just ought to pray for them. Because even though she didn't have an eighth grade education, my mom knew what it was to spend time in prayer. And she knew that no matter what you faced in life, the first response, the best response, was prayer. It was going up to that machine in the natural to do that squat. For her, it was going down and humbling herself, carrying the weight of what was going on in her own life, what was going on in the lives of her children, her grandchildren, what was going on in her church, everything that was going on around her, was taking that and bowing down before God as she's carrying that weight, and then rising again. That is what prayer is. We used to sing this chorus many, many years ago. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely work it out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. You know, each Sunday, as part of our worship, we pray the Lord's Prayer. And I thought about it this morning, how it is so like doing a squat. It begins with me saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Every time we pray that prayer, we are in essence doing a spiritual squat before God. as we humble ourselves with the problems and the pains and everything that we're carrying and we've carried this week and we've brought into those doors, as we are humbling ourselves before God, and then we reach that place where we know God has heard, God has heard, God is interceding, God is going to do, and then we begin to rise up because we're saying, Lord, it's in your hands now. I want to encourage you to pray. I don't know of anything that our country needs more now than prayer. I don't know anything our denomination needs more right now than prayer. I don't know in our own lives, in what people are facing, what they're facing in their own lives and what they're facing in the lives of their children, their families, their finances. We need prayer. So I want to encourage you, don't neglect the exercise of prayer. Don't neglect to strengthen your inner man as you pray. Don't forget to say, God, put me with somebody. Let me make a connection with someone that I can just share my heart with, and we can pray for each other. So let's pray. Father, you have given us the gift of prayer, where we can come and humble ourselves before you and bring to you adoration and praise and glory and honor, where we can share our lives with you and open our hearts up to you, where we can cry out to you and pray for ourselves and pray for others, and then, Lord, where we can rise and leave that closet of prayer knowing that we have been strengthened by the Spirit of God as we have prayed. Lord, for many in the body of Christ today, we are weak and we are emaciated and we are frail because we have neglected the exercise of prayer. I pray, Lord, you would stir up within our hearts a desire for prayer, that we would say, I am going to be a person of prayer. I'm going to spend time in prayer. I'm going to set aside some time each day in order that I might pray. Lord, forgive us for the many times in our lives in which we have been prayerless. Forgive us, Lord, for the many times in which we have looked to other means and other methods and other ways rather than going to you in prayer. But Lord, I pray that as we pray, we would be strengthened, as Paul said, in the inner man. And that we would, as we read in our text today, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In Jesus' name, amen.